So next year, when those reserve funds are gone, you're going to have a $6 billion budget, whole, right? $6 billion budget deficit. Right. And that's going to be trying for the Pennsylvanians. And, you know, you're either going to do two things. You cut programs or you're going to increase taxes.
Welcome to Talking with Doyle, the podcast that gets State Representative Doyle Heffley talking. And Doyle, we are talking here in the Carbon County Cocktail Lounge to talk about how budget hearings have started. Mm-hmm. And one of the big topics our caucus is talking about, in addition to what the Democrats are talking about, is affordability. In that we're starting budget hearings, people are looking at their taxes, it's starting to be tax time, and they're realizing that, hey, the prices on everything have gone up. As we go into budget hearings, what are some of the things that you're looking at when it comes to affordability?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things, and we've talked about energy prices and energy, and I can tell you, because I get an electric bill like everybody else, energy prices and electric rates are very high, and that's primarily because of bad policies here at our state level. Allowing companies to invest or kind of blocking them from investing in building, you know, baseload energy. The more electricity you have, the cheaper it will be, right? And, you know, we have natural gas in Pennsylvania. We need to get some of these pipeline projects done, and we need to do things so that we can have that affordable energy. Because if your electric bill is going up at your house, the electric bill at the grocery store is going up, the electric bill at the manufacturing facility is going up, the electric bill for farmers is going up. Farmers also use a lot of propane or natural gas to dry out different products. So it's anything that's energy related, which is everything in our economy, the lights on here, or people that are, yeah, that are streaming this, all that costs, and when those costs go up, you know, we spent at the national level, they spent trillions of dollars investing in unreliable green energy, right? So-called green energy, as we talked about PFAS and solar panels the last time. But you know, we need to really do what we can to bring down those energy costs. And the only way to do that is to produce more electricity. Pennsylvania can be a powerhouse for energy. I think that's one of the primary goals. The other is we have a labor shortage, and that's really driving up costs and getting into more productivity. You know, we could use newer technologies and streamlining some of those. I mean, I can sit on my phone at home and make a phone call and have a package delivered. I can't really do that. My wife can and not make a phone call. But you can go on your iPhone. You can have a package delivered the next day, right? But yet, I'm waiting for some PennDOT paperwork right now, through my office. And it's been almost 2 weeks, and they still can't process some simple paperwork. So automation in government agencies and bringing it up to speed, I think, would go a long way also to bring down the cost. The other thing is, bringing down our taxes. We talked about property taxes many times, and eliminating property taxes. I will say I'm looking forward to some of the federal tax cuts and the also being able to, you know, Pennsylvania's being able to write off their state and local taxes is going to be key. That's going to be a huge tax break for Pennsylvanians, and that came about in this last round of bills that came out of Washington, D.C., with those other tax cuts. But those state and local tax write-offs are going to be key to putting more money in the pockets of Pennsylvanians. And anything we can do here to make sure that we have a balanced budget that doesn't overspend is going to keep costs down. When government overspends, as we've seen by the Biden administration, when government overspends, it drives inflation.
When we talk about these budget hearings that have started, and you talked about some of the policies right there that you're going to be looking forward to, let's break it down to the good folks for Carbon County. What should they be listening to? What do you think they should pay attention to when these budget hearings are starting to be put on social media pages, when other representatives are putting press releases out about them?
Yeah, so, I mean, you can go to our website any given day. It's when the budget hearings are taking place. It's a live stream. You can watch the budget hearings. They're exciting. But they are important. And it really spells out what the governor's proposal is, what the House Democrat proposal is, and what the alternatives are, the proposals from the Republican caucus. And what we've seen from Josh Shapiro thus far and is the same as what we've seen when Ed Rendell was in office and any other Democrat is spend, spend, spend. We cannot continue to spend down the rainy day fund and have those one-time dollars go into fixed costs. Like the governor's budget proposal, almost $6 billion in spending that he's pulling out of reserve funds. So next year, when those reserve funds are gone, you're going to have a $6 billion budget hole, right? $6 billion budget deficit. And that's going to be trying for the Pennsylvanians. And, you know, you're either going to do two things. You cut programs or you're going to increase taxes. Now, I think we have a lot of opportunities right now in this Commonwealth for growth. And we have a lot of big economic projects coming in, some to Carbon County, some to other areas. They have to be done right. They have to be done in the right areas. We don't want to put them in areas that they, you know, but we have brownfields that could be reclaimed by some of these newer industrial technologies that are coming out. And that would, you know, be a tremendous boom to the local tax base. And it would also drive, you know, those dollars into the state coffers. So through economic growth and controlling spending, we'll have a balanced budget and we can cut down on inflation. And then you also look at housing. Yeah. How do we bring down housing costs? We have a package of bills that our caucus put forth to increase, you know, being able to build more houses, rolling back some of the burdensome newly adopted UCC building codes, and making sure that any new codes that are adopted are going to be looked at the cost to the person building them. If you drive up costs for building a new home by $10,000, and then you fix that to a 30-year mortgage, I mean, that's an incredible amount of money that family's going to pay for some of these, you know, these new codes that are coming out, which are unnecessary. We want to make sure every home's built safely and done right. But some of the things that they're adopting right now, and especially a lot of these new alternative energy things that they want to push through, are really going to drive up costs. And I'm part of a caucus that wants to bring down that cost for Pennsylvania families.
But one thing we can mention, too, on a good side of money, though, is that a couple of grants you've secured recently for fire departments and EMS services in Carbon County, you've secured more than $400,000. Why don't you talk about, like, what that's going to, how that's going to help folks here in Carbon County?
Yeah, so every year there's a grant program that comes out, each fire department and the ambulance company and emergency services, they can qualify for it. There's some reporting that those departments have to do and file with the state fire marshal. So my staff works with all of our local volunteer organizations to ensure that those reports are all done on time. As long as everything is submitted and done on time, those grants come out. So sometimes people ask me, well, what did you do for this grant? Well, my staff works with those local first responders, because sometimes, you know, you may have a change of a secretary or a change of a fire chief or assistant chief or responsibility in a firehouse, and that maybe the new person doesn't understand fully how all these processes work. Well, we're there to help out. We're there to remind them to get these reports filed to ensure that every department that is eligible receives those dollars. So my staff works closely with all of our local fire departments for that. And then there's been other programs that, you know, through different funding streams that we put into the budget to try to drive those dollars back to Carbon County.
And why is that important for you? Because I would guess that it's because it's a lot of these departments are made mostly of volunteers. So yeah, they're working on shoestring budgets. So I'm assuming for you, any dollar that you can get them is good news for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important. When we work on grants and funding for our volunteer fire companies or ambulance services or our local police departments, right, if we're not able to get some of those funding, some of those dollars back from Harrisburg for those departments, where does it come from? Right, because the fire departments need to put diesel fuel in their fire trucks to go on a call. So if we can get grants that help them offset that cost, then those are dollars that don't have to be raised locally. So if a municipality gives them that money or any other agency, they're going to get it through property taxes. So any dollar really that comes back for emergency service or our local police departments through these different programs is to offset. We did grants for water and sewer projects. We work on them. We work with those municipalities to apply for those grants, kind of help them to do that. We write letters of support, and then we try to direct funding into those grant programs to get those dollars back. Because if you're looking at an infrastructure project, like water or sewer, if they don't have the dollars, if there's additional dollars from the state, we want to make sure that we have clean water coming into our drinking supply, and also that the water that we're discharging is filtered and clean to go back into the waterways. So we want to make sure that those dollars are going to come back to do that, because if not, the ratepayers in these communities are going to see increased rates. So we want to, you know, anytime we can bring, you know, work on those dollars, and we create these grant programs for special projects like this at the state level, and we want to work with those municipalities, and my staff does that to get them to apply for it and get those dollars to come back. Recently, there was an award for the Lehighton Area School District for a traffic signal that's much needed at 9th and Bridge Street. It was something that the school district, when they built the new school, it was an agreement they had with the township, or with the borough, I'm sorry, to put the light in there, and it just hadn't gotten completed. It's a huge cost, so we've got some of those dollars to offset that cost, because if we don't, then the Lehighton School District is going to rely on dollars from the local community, which are property tax dollars. So anything we can bring back to offset those costs is something that we want to work on. And we work with those organizations to apply for those dollars. And through the budget process, we also work to put funding into grant programs so that rural communities like those in Carbon County can try to apply and acquire those dollars. And that then offsets the cost in those local communities.
But maybe one thing we should mention too about those fire and EMS grants that we talked about, the more than $400,000 that you've been able to help secure, those are investments in public safety for folks in Carbon County, right?
Yeah, and it's very important. I mean, obviously, we want to make sure that our local volunteers have everything that they need, all the training that they need. We have a training center. We worked with money to get that up and running years ago, but we continue to help them to secure those dollars to offset. You know, they don't have to have, you know, they're still doing breakfast and hoagie sales, and I encourage everybody, a lot of fish fries coming up over the Lent season, a lot of breakfast at fire departments. They do bingos, they do fundraisers, flea markets, anything like that. Go out and support them. Support your local community organizations that are going to be there, because when you pick up 911, it's not the people that are going to respond are coming out to help you in your time of need. Now what we can do to help them in their time of need.
I think that's a good way to wrap up this edition of Talking with Doyle. If you're there, you've heard Doyle's thoughts. If you'd like to leave your thoughts below to help continue the conversation, we'd love to listen to them, and maybe we'll respond to one in a future podcast.